starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Laura Geisert and Adrian Frost are two SLPs in California who met in grad school and now have their own speech therapy private practices and a popular podcast called the SLP Book Club. During the episode, Laura and Adrian share their individual stories, but some common themes about why they chose private practice were evident. Both shared their experiences of feeling overwhelmed and unfulfilled in their previous jobs, but through the support of the START program, they were able to start their own private practices and find greater job satisfaction. Now they're able to choose their own clients, form better connections with families, have a more manageable caseload, and improved work-life balance. In this episode, they both share where they get their referrals from, what types of clients they see and whether they are generalists or are specializing in certain populations, and which one is doing private practice full-time but not working full-time hours, and which one is still doing it on the side of their other job. If you've been thinking about starting a private practice and want to see how other folks are doing it, this is a great episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system. And I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. So before we dive in, can you please share your names, location, and the name of your private practice?
I'm Adrian Frost. I am in Orange, California, and my private practice is Say Hello Speech Therapy.
And I'm Laura Geisert. My private practice is in North Hollywood, and it is Springboard Speech Therapy.
And y'all also have a podcast. Can one of you mention the podcast?
We do. Our podcast is the SLP Book Club, and each month we read books that we think SLPs will really benefit from reading, and we discuss them weekly on the podcast.
Oh, I love that. You two are totally fun. And so for everyone to hear kind of what your private practices are like and how they've maybe evolved, but can we go back to the beginning and can each of you just kind of take turns sharing about like a little bit about how you started in the field, and then really, when did you start thinking about private practice?
Sure. So Laura and I went to grad school together at Cal State LA, and we graduated in 2015. So we both went into the schools. I'll let Laura talk about that. But I was with the district and had a couple of schools. I was at a high school, which is a little bit rare for speech therapy. So that was a great experience and I loved it, but I struggled a little bit with feeling effective, you know, with that population and age. So after that, I went on to a K-8 math and science magnet school and I loved that. But ultimately, COVID had a really big impact on me and kind of was like the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of some issues I was feeling with my district and sort of being respected. I've come from a very litigious district. And so it was really stressful. And yeah, it was like I was home, you know, COVID, we were over. And I was thinking about like, how can I do something for myself? And then I found your program and I was so excited about it. So I signed up. I told Laura about it. It was amazing. It really helped me to envision a different future for myself. I think if I had not been brave enough to step outside of my plan, which was really just to stay with a district like until my mid-60s, I don't know, just retire. Like it was just stable and good. And that's what I thought I wanted. But life kind of has a funny way of showing you like, okay, maybe there's something else in store for you. So in, I think 2021, I started the private practice and I wanted to specialize in like speech sound disorders and articulation. And I loved it. And I felt like working from home with the pandemic really helped me to kind of like cut my teeth in the area of parent coaching. And I loved being able to engage with parents. And I just felt like, okay, like if I'm going to do this private practice, I'm going to be in home. Like it's really small on the side. I never wanted more than a handful of clients. I just wanted the opportunity to work more closely with parents and really help them to be the best coach they can be for their child. So it's been really great. And now I'm doing teletherapy. I'm remote. I have a full-time job. I'm like working at this clinic over the summer. So now I'm like doing EI and a private practice, but it's, I fit in clients here and there and the podcast takes a lot of our time too. So we can get into the podcast later, but that's basically my story up to this point.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much, Adrienne. Like I love how you kind of like found your way to private practice. And I love what you said about during the pandemic, like doing something for yourself, right? That you are really feeling like overworked and heading toward burnout and everything. And so being able to, you know, get that like business education to, I mean, you already had the clinical education, right? And then the other thing I really liked what you said, because I felt the same way, was that like, I thought that when, that I just have kind of a lifelong job, right? That I would get and graduate from grad school. And, you know, I'm an adult person. So I thought I was going to work in a hospital and I got my dream job in the hospital only to find out like within a year that it was not a dream. Right. And that's so hard when you have this vision of life and what you want to do. And how cool is it though, that we can be like, come up with new ideas and new ways to use our professional skills, but in a way that serves us and serves our clients.
100%. And it really opened up the doors for me to like dream, which I think was so amazing. And I mean, your program, the way it walked you through every step, it's like, I know before airing, you mentioned you're type B, but of course I'm pretty type A. I'm a speech therapist. So I needed that like structure and I really appreciated it. It made me feel confident. And I mean, the Facebook group is amazing. So I love support in the program.
Well, we love having you in it. So thank you for being a part of our program and for, you know, for going through and starting and changing your life for the better. So Laura, can you share a little bit about your like kind of early career and when did you start thinking about private practice?
Okay, so a little different. When we were in grad school and everybody was deciding where they were going to go. For some reason, I knew that if I signed on with a school district, like worked for the district, that I would be stuck, not stuck, because I know some people choose that. I knew that I wanted to pursue other things and that maybe somewhere down the road, I would be kind of, Adrienne and I are both, we joke that we're multi-potentialites. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's people that, you know, you get really interested in one thing and then you pour yourself into it and then you move to another thing. And so I always kind of knew that I would down the road maybe have two or three different things that I was doing at the same time. So I signed on with a contract company and was contracted in a very large school district, which ended up being terrible because, you know, we weren't subject to the same caseload caps as the district employees. My caseloads were just astronomical. Totally out of control. So within 4 years, I had already switched to part-time, just on the verge of total burnout, just dreaming of having a different job. You know, I would be at the grocery store and be like, man, I just wish I worked here. Like something where I didn't have to go home and be completely consumed with thinking about my job all the time. So yeah, that year 2021, Adrienne and I used to always try to meet up, but the pandemic actually made us closer. We were meeting on Zoom at least once a month, I think. And I had had this crazy back pain. And I was walking one day, walking my dogs, and I just stopped and said out loud, I hate my job. Like, it just hit me because I'd been kind of like holding it in, just pushing it down, you know, like, because you work so hard to get there. You think you're going to love it. Your professors are telling you job satisfaction is so high in speech therapy. You get there and you're like, you're supposed to love this. You're supposed to love this. This was your dream. And so when you finally are able to say to yourself, hey, this didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, and something has got to change, it is just like my back pain just disappeared because I'd admitted it to myself. And then Adrienne told me, I'm going to tell you about this podcast. I'm on the wait list for Jenna's course. And like, she was like, I listen to the podcast when I'm driving to work and I get chills hearing people's stories. And so we both joined, you know, at the same time. I was like, I'm doing it. And I was making boom cards during the pandemic out of necessity, but they were doing okay. Like, I was selling a little bit, and I just used that money in PayPal. I put myself on a payment plan for your course. So I just, you know, each month it was just my boom card money going to that course and preparing me for my practice. So then that year, at the end of that year, I was done in the schools. I have not gone back since. I opened my private practice. And, you know, I'm really passionate about stuttering. I have a family history of stuttering. You know, it's kind of, you said before, Jenna, that to us privately, that your clients find you once you specialize, they start coming to you. But it was almost magical, like I'd manifested it. The first few people that were contacting me were preschool stuttering clients. And so it wasn't very long before I was like, I'm just going to specialize in this, take a lot of courses in it, make sure that I'm really, really prepared, and haven't really looked back. That's mostly, I see a few early intervention clients here or there, but I keep my whole caseload really slow. I have a Teachers Pay Teachers store and a Boom Learning store, and now this podcast. So multi-potential. I'm just like, today I was thinking I want to start maybe a true crime podcast.
I love that so much. So a pediatric fluency, what percentage of your caseload was pediatric fluency?
Oh my goodness. I would maybe have two or three kids a year, but some would be like fifth graders that were just on consult. So I really didn't get a lot of experience before at the preschool level. I had one preschool fluency client. And if I could rewind time, I would treat her completely differently than now. I had no idea what I was doing. So very, very small percentage.
Right? Like that you've been able now to, like, you mentioned the, you know, a personal history, right, through your family and whatnot. So you've been able to now really probably feel like you're seeing the kind of clients that you were meant to see, right? And they're finding you and your job satisfaction. Well, I'll let you speak for yourself. How is your job satisfaction now compared to when you hated your job?
It is so rewarding. It's exactly what I pictured when I thought I'd be a speech therapist, where I'm empowering parents. And I've got these kids, you know, parents come to you really kind of frantic when their kids start stuttering at 3 or 4 years old. And they, you know, because they have all this preconceived, you know, these notions about stuttering and what their kid's future might look like, they're nervous. And their kid has maybe changed. Kids lose confidence. They get scared to talk once they become really aware of stuttering. And so the change you see right when you start treating it and the confidence you give parents, even if it's a kid that is going to stutter, a lot of kids will not persist in stuttering. You're able to treat it and they graduate, but some will stutter mildly, even if they were treated at the preschool level. But just the change in their personality, I get chills thinking about that because it's unbelievable what you can do when you really have the time to learn what you're doing.
Well, and we owe that to our clients, right? Like, you know, when people are in environments, whether again, schools, hospitals, even other people's private practices, like when your caseload is so high, it's like trial by fire, right? Like you can't even, you're just trying to do everything you can to get through the day, help the kids, write the reports, like, you know, and just not burn out. But like so many people do end up heading toward burnout, right? That like when all of a sudden you're in charge of your schedule, you're in charge of who you see and how you help them, that's life-changing for your career, but also for your own like just mental health and well-being.
Right. Yeah, I think that's something Laura and I were talking about earlier, was about the kind of like hamster wheel effect of when you're just running so hard to stay in place and you're going to work. And the minute you get there, you're so busy until the minute you leave. And then you have responsibilities at home and kids. And it's like you go to sleep exhausted. You wake up, you do the same thing. So I feel like having some free time has allowed us to like, well, what can we do? You know, like Laura's right. We're always talking about maybe we should start like a private practice together. Like too many ideas, not enough time.
Yes, but like your schedule hopefully is freeing up a little bit more, like, you know, because of this whole thing. So let's go back to Adrian. Adrian, what would you tell our listeners that your private practice, you know, air quotes, looks like these days?
Well, I formed some really great relationships with some preschools in my area. And so I do like to get to children when they're young. So I get referrals from preschools. I like to go into the preschool if I can and at least do the eval in the preschool. I can treat at the preschool or at home. So sometimes I'm going to homes nearby me and sometimes I'm in the schools, but I always really like for there to be, well, a preschool. Sometimes I really like for there to be a point person, you know, like a teacher where I can talk to them about how to support the child, especially with practice. We know practice is so important for speech sound disorders, for articulation. And I know from my experience in the schools that we are making practice sheets for parents. We're sending them home and it's not getting done. They are crunched up in the footwell of the car and they're shoved in a drawer. And so to be able to talk directly to parents, I've had so many of them say to me, like, I wish I knew what you know. I wish I could really help my kid when, you know, we're driving to school and they're saying, Wabbit, like, what can I do, you know? And so I love being able to form a connection with them and really provide that support. It's been amazing. So I really have become friends with some of the parents too, which is nice.
It is nice. When you mentioned, you know, parent coaching earlier, and I feel like that's something that so many of us like are missing that connection with families, right? Like when you have, again, this a big caseload or in like irregular communication with families, and we know that like the home environment is so important for carryover and generalization and everything, that when you don't have that, then it's like, it just makes therapy doesn't go as well, right? And so it's so nice when you are able to either see people in their homes or have that, you know, better connections with the family members, because they do want to know, right? Parents do want to know how to help their kids, right? They just don't, they don't know how. They're not speech therapists, right? So it's really great, Adrian, that you're able to do that for a lot of your families.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And like I said, I keep it really small. So I just kind of try to fit in a couple of clients in the afternoons here and there. And the extra income is great, and the freedom and feeling that satisfaction of being able to choose my clients and really focus on what I want, just like Laura was saying.
Yeah, I love that.
Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here, and I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests, and it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode.
All right. So Laura, for you, what would you say that your private practice looks like these days?
So my private practice, I work in home. That's the way I've always done it. I travel to my clients' homes and I see usually about 3 to 6 clients at a time. And I always, you know, before I quit the schools, I was working 3 days a week. So I really want to keep it to 3 days. But the the amazing thing when I don't know if it was when I was taking your course or before I took your course, when you do that calculator where you know, like you try to see, okay, if I wanted to make up my income that I make now in the schools, how many clients would I have to see a week? And it is just, it's unbelievable when you realize what you're worth. And you know, oh, I was seeing groups of four kids back to back to back, like, you know, seeing four kids for 30 minutes and then the next 30 minutes seeing four kids versus sitting in a home for an hour with a mom and the kid and, you know, just really being prepared and doing this work. It's just unbelievable. A lot of times what I'm doing is when I get contacted by a lot of people that are not looking for preschool stuttering, or they're looking for someone who takes insurance, and I only accept private pay. So I do spend a lot of time referring out. You know, I help them find somebody closer to them. In Los Angeles, you could get people calling you from like an hour and a half away, and you're like, I'm really not the right person for you. So I do spend a lot of time helping them find a few options and referring to other speech therapists, but that's fine with me. I like making a connection, and then maybe if I tell them what I do, maybe they'll go, oh, I contacted this nice speech therapist that works on stuttering or fluency in your area. But yeah, I see 3 to 6 clients at a time. And, you know, I spend a lot of time. My goal has always been to have that balance of working on my other projects and my private practice.
I love that. Right. Because, you know, the word freedom keeps popping up. Right. And I think that that really is the most important thing, because that's what leads to burnout, honestly, is not feeling in control. Right. So I feel like the opposite of not feeling in control is freedom. Right. And so there's so many people who just long to be in charge of their caseload in terms of the numbers, how many people are on their caseload. Right. Like Laura, you said several times that you want like 3 to 6. Right. Like that's like the perfect number for you. Right. Well, compare that to the schools where you had. How many? Like 100?
Oh, one year I had 120 with a slip-up. I did have a slip-up, but it was that feeling of complete helplessness where you feel stretched so thin, like you're giving like 30% of what you could be giving to your kids. You just feel like you want to tell the parents, I'm so sorry. And I've told this story before, but when I told the district I work for that it was too much, they told me the only option was to uncover part of my school. So that would have meant I'm at that school. And then some kids would have their parents or teachers coming to me saying, why isn't my kid getting speech? And I'd go, I'm sorry, I can't cover him. So the speech therapist is there. They're just not seeing your kids. So that just wasn't an option for me. And we're speech therapists. We just go, I guess I've got to do it.
Yeah, but now you can give, you know, 120% to the kids that you have.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I give too much.
Kara's really good at that. She spends a lot of time prepping for her sessions.
But remember, like back in grad school when we did that, right? We had all of the time. Well, not all of the time. We were pretty busy, but we had time. We had all of the energy, like. We were so invested, right? And so like that's the cool thing, is that you can go back to like the original reasons why you got into this profession and the original like dream that you thought that your life was going to be like. Because I can't remember which one of you mentioned this, and I think that y'all mentioned this, kind of like those best jobs lists, right? That we're always kind of on like the best jobs list, you know, oh, you know, it pays well and there's a lot of flexibility and people love it, right? And like, overall, it's still a great profession, but a lot of times the jobs aren't what we're kind of led to believe that they're going to be, right? And flexibility is right up there. I know everyone's like, oh, you're going to be a speech therapist. What a great flexible position. That'll be great when you have kids or whatever. Then I had kids and, you know, it's not that flexible.
Yeah. And that thing, that top jobs list, I felt like I was hearing it from so many, not just in my post-bac, but then in grad school. Yes. You know, it's like they were trying to convince us, you've made the right decision. Stick with it. Like, you're going to love it. We promise. And then it's just, I mean, you see, I don't know if it's just that there are a lot of loud voices talking about burnout, but it's not just us. You know, it's spread very widely that everybody is overwhelmed, and especially, you know, SLPs working in schools. So it's just so great to, once you figure out what you're worth, Adrian and I talk about that a lot too. I'm always preaching to people, they need you more than you need them, when SLPs are worried about losing their job or, you know, whatever.
I mean, I know Laura and I, we were talking about grad school because it's interesting, like you work so hard to get into grad school. Like the journey is such a struggle. You're volunteering in undergrad. You're trying to keep your grades up. You're like soliciting letters of rec and interviewing, and it's just intense. And then when you get in, it feels like you worked so hard to make it, just like what Laura was saying. And then when you graduate, you're like, okay, I'm like ready for this amazing job. And it's hard to feel overwhelmed. And we talk all the time about how it feels like it takes years to even feel like you kind of know what you're doing. But we did have a class in grad school that was about opening your own private practice.
We did.
And we talk about it all the time because it was like, the only thing I remember from it is they talked a lot about like what kind of furniture you might want to have in your waiting. And it was interesting to learn about that. And I'm so happy that we have found ways to do this that really work for us and are flexible, like we've been talking about, because brick and mortar is not the only way. And it actually can, for me, it was a little bit of a barrier thinking, oh my gosh, like the brick and mortar feels so intimidating to have that pressure. But in your course, when I heard you talking about like, just see them on the side, it doesn't have to be so serious like that. It was really eye-opening, refreshing to hear.
Totally. So first of all, I love that you at least had a class, right? Like I've heard of, okay, so what school was it again?
You know what? Somebody who's been on your podcast before also took the class, Tiffany Resvani,
who's
in LA and has an AAC private practice. Yeah. She went to the same school as us, and I listened to her episode and she mentioned we had a class at Cal State LA. Actually, he was the head of our department and he was an audiologist, and he has a multiple practice like all around LA, very successful audiology business. So he was the right person to be teaching us. And if we'd all know, but you know, what was it? 18 out of 20 of us were just headed to the schools. So
it was a little too early to be learning that information, kind of like it was like, I don't even know, like, you know, I don't know what to do with that information, but it was cool. I was glad that they at least showed it as an option, because I felt like that at least planted the seed, you know?
Yeah, well, that's totally it. Like I complain all the time that nobody learns anything about private practice in grad school, but I will also concede and say that it is not exactly the right time to learn all of the ins and outs, right? Like that's really for when you know, have been in the profession for, you know, whenever you feel like you have something to bring to the table, right? But like, that's what my program is for. Like we go through all of the everythings, like A to Z and whatever else. But in grad school, you should learn about it as an option, right? Because that's awesome that one professor had personal experience. I find most people who are professors in grad programs, and I used to teach in a grad program, they don't have any experience in private practice. So a lot of times it's a lot of like naysaying and like, you know, poo-pooing private practice and discouraging people from going into it, because that's just not their personal experience, right? But I am glad to hear that more programs are at least introducing it as like, whether it's like an intersession or a guest lecture or something, just so people, you know, have something to go on. But like, that's literally right why I wrote my book, right? So my book, The Path to Private Practice, really is about like that decision to get to private practice, right? And it's really geared toward young professionals, grad students, or people a couple of years into the field who are trying to decide if this is the right path for them, right? So end rant on that. My next question is for Adrian, which is, you know, how are you finding your clients, or how are they finding you?
Well, I feel like word of mouth is pretty big, especially if I see like one child out of preschool. I feel like parents talk about it. They love the flexibility of just having me come to their house. So if you have one happy parent, like that can go a really long way. And of course, I have a website. So I do get contacted through my website and, you know, Yelp and stuff like that. So I do find that I'm like almost having to turn people away or kind of have a wait list going or refer out to other therapists, just because depending on your area, there's such a big need, you know. But just like Laura, I'm private pay only. So that also kind of narrows the list a little bit, but it's great for me because I just really wanted to focus on the therapy and not so much on the administrative end with the insurance. So, you know, I get contacted, I get voicemails, and I
follow up,
and magic happens. I love Cool. All right. And what about you, Laura? Where are your clients finding you? Where are you finding them?
Same, pretty much. My last client, I did get through a referral. A pediatrician referred her specifically to me, and she was like, "Do you know her?" And I was like, "Nope." So sometimes you don't even know. Maybe, you know, a client whose parent was a doctor told someone else. So things spread. But yeah, I after I took your course and created my website, I was doing a lot of blogging, especially about preschool fluency. So trying to get some more traffic to my website that way. And, you know, I've always maintained kind of the exact number of clients I want, kind of ebbs and flows. All of a sudden I'll get this rush of people contacting me, and I feel a little busier at times, and then things smooth out, and Yelp keeps hassling me to buy more advertising, and I almost want to cancel my whole Yelp thing because I feel like I started getting spam phone calls once I signed up for it. But yeah, it's just because I like to keep mine small. I haven't had any issues. I feel like I would go back and retake some of the parts of your course or revisit your Facebook group if I decided, hey, I want to grow this thing more, or take your grow course, because right now this is just perfect for me.
Well, and that's all I want for everyone, right? Like I say this all the time, that there's no such thing as a perfect private practice, only one that's perfect for you, right? And that means different things to different people. And so I love that the two of you have, you know, smaller practices, but you're very happy with that, right? And knowing that like you could grow it if you wanted to. And there's also different seasons of life, and maybe you will choose to grow it at some point. Or maybe you won't, because you're, what did you say? It wasn't multi-passionate, but it was close.
Multi-potentialite.
Okay, I love it, right? So like, that's the cool thing, is that you can make this what you want, right? And listeners, I'm sure you can tell that like Adrian and Laura have made this what has worked for with their lives and what works for their lives right now. And, you know, you might do something different with it as time goes on, which is a perfect time to talk about the future, Adrian. So what are your plans for the future in regard to your private practice?
Well, I'm definitely going to keep going how I am right now. I have a 5-year-old daughter, and she's going to be starting kindergarten in the fall. So I really like to have, you know, the schedule that matches hers. So we'll see. For right now, it just seems like having, you know, kind of like Laura's saying, 3 to 5 is kind of a sweet spot for me, like 1 in the afternoon typically works well. And then I have some other big projects in the works coming up. So we'll see. I mean, I have a full-time job right now as well. So I think there could be some changes coming up. But right now, I'm really happy with what I have going on.
Oh, I love that. Love it, love it. Okay, Laura, what about you?
Yeah, right now, I am just cruising. You know, I love that I have the option, if something changed in my life, if my circumstances changed and I needed to go back and find another job, like a full-time job, this would fit perfectly with it. You know, I could work teletherapy and be seeing my clients. You know, it could be molded into so many different shapes and forms. So for right now, though, I feel happier and more fulfilled than I've ever felt in my life with exactly how things are going. This has been a really fun year since Adrian and I started working together. So I see it just continuing exactly as it is. Knock on wood. Things are just perfect.
I love that so much. So listeners, I hope that you're inspired by Adrian and Laura and just have you know, heard their stories and heard also like the things that have come about by virtue of them deciding to, you know, trust themselves and trust me to help them start their practices, right? So where can our listeners find you guys?
Well, the best place to connect with us is probably on Instagram. We're at SLP_bookclub. And if you go there, you can find a way to both of our Instagram accounts as well. You can join our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/the SLP book club. And we're about to start doing a lot more on TikTok, which makes me feel so old. But we're trying it out. And there we're at the SLP Book Club.
Well,
and of course, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get it from.
Wherever it is. Oh, yeah, totally. Well, that's the thing. Listeners, if you're listening to this now, that means you're a podcast listener. So go ahead and subscribe to their podcast because you've done some pretty cool books. And I'm sure you have more that you'll be doing. But I just thank you so much for being on the show, for sharing your stories, for being part of the START program, and just inspiring the next generation of SLPs to go into private practice and really to change your lives for the better. So again, thank you so much for being on and sharing your stories.
Thank you so much, Jenna. That's been great.
Okay. Don't you just love Laura and Adrian? I love their energy and that they wanted to see private clients. And so they did. And now they're more fulfilled in their careers and loving their lives again. Honestly, it's all about taking back that control. They didn't switch careers. They just switched into a new job setting, their own, where they are the boss. They set their schedules and their rates and decide which clients to see and how many to see. They literally set their own caseload caps, and I love to see it. It was wonderful working with them in the Start Your Private Practice program, and I wish them all of the best with their practices and their podcast. If you would like to work with us to get set up, started, and seeing your own private clients, just like we helped Laura and Adrian, head on over to startyourprivatepractice.com to learn more and sign up. As always, thank you for listening, and please tune in next week for another episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Till then.
Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.